So very blessed. Appreciate being able to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Looking around at my brothers and sisters, and just happy to see your shining faces. Able to come in here and knock the dust of the world off, and cleanse ourselves a little bit and fill His Spirit, and just to think about how blessed we really are. You know, I try throughout the day when I can get an opportunity to break my mind away from the rat race that I'm involved in to think about, Lord, you know, let me just give you a little bit of time and say, I appreciate being able to be a part of that rat race. You know, I appreciate having a job. There's times that I can focus on the negative side and, you know, I've got 4,000 emails coming at me this way. I've got calls over here and my boss is needing this and it's just like, Calgon, take me away. It never happens. But that's an oldie, huh? But, you know, then I got to look on the other side of it. You know what? But I have a job. You know what? I have a job that's considered a career, something that a lot of people strive for, and I have been blessed with that. You know, and I'll start looking back even when we go. I went to a sales meeting here recently, and, you know, when you're talking to other, you know, newer sales reps and you're explaining about your career, every time I do that, it always brings a thankfulness back to my heart to realize that, thank you, Ben. I try not to forget with other people, but I forget with myself. That's okay. To my job and how I started with waste management, and I go through as far as the steps that I've went through. And I shouldn't, by all parts of measuring as far as the education I have or the experience I had before, I shouldn't be in the role that I'm in today. It's nothing but the grace of God that has helped me and blessed me to be able to help me advance. And I have to remember that. So then sometimes I also think, okay, Lord, so you want me under this much pressure for a reason, right? There's a reason I'm going through this. And I think about that and I say, okay, Lord, you know, have it your way. I want to do your will, Lord. I want to submit to you because, you know, and I know Brother Brett Weiniger has talked about it before in his, because we have similar roles, how, you know, there's, I'll speak for myself. I have definitely sought, you know, those windows of escape, you know. I'll put some resumes out there. There's no harm in that, right? There's no harm in looking around and seeing if there's something else out there because I'd sure like to get out from underneath this load. And then, you know, sometimes it's like doors start to open and I think, oh, well, maybe this is something God wants me to do. And the door shuts. And then somehow, some way, there would always be some form of advancement where I'm at currently. And so I would just, you know, talk to the Lord like, I don't know at all what your plan is, Lord. I'm quite confused. But I know I don't have to know that part. I just have to trust in Him. I just have to thank Him daily for blessing me, for giving me that opportunity for day in and day out to be able to go someplace and to have a place to go and work. And I want to be thankful for that. You know, it's a small thing, but it's those little things. Those little foxes will spoil the vine. If I don't appreciate that job, if I don't even appreciate my wife like I should, if I don't let her know, hey, you know what? I'm thankful that God blessed you. I'm glad God blessed you with me. No, I'm thankful that I was blessed that God brought you into my life. I want to remember that. And likewise, I want to remember the people of God who have been there for me time and time again. And truly, coming in here tonight, you know, I if you just want to grade it, it was a wonderful Wednesday. It really was. I got a lot accomplished. I've got a lot that's not done, but that's every day, right? So, you know, it was a great day from that standpoint, but I could look at the one side and say, I was overwhelmed today, and I'm tired, I'm beat down, you know? But I have the opportunity to come in here and get strength from my brothers and my sisters. When I see you and I know, you know what, they're on that same road that I'm on, and that's a lift, and I want to appreciate that. I know I need more appreciation in my life. I do not, and you can ask my children, I do not accept at all from them the inappreciation. not appreciating if it's a gift, if it's something that's been done. I've tried to teach them, you know, you should be thankful for whatever it is. You know, I'm not looking for when I come into the house and say, oh, great Father, it's so good to see you. You know, nothing like that. But, you know, it'd be different too, wouldn't it, Brother Paul? But I'm just saying, I've tried to teach them to be appreciative for what others do for them. Well, I don't want to be a spoiled child. And God blessed me with so many things, whether it be on the natural side, and I haven't even touched the spiritual side. How awesome that, you know, we're singing that song, the one before I Am Blessed, the one about where will I spend eternity? You know, that song means something different to us. We know when we can sing that song, we're not talking about, well, I'm either going to be in heaven or the hot place, right? We know better than that. We know that our opportunity is to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. That's where we're focusing on in relation to eternity. And I honestly don't even want to consider even that other aspect of, well, if I'm an unjust person, at least I get a second resurrection. That's not my goal here tonight. That is not anyone in here's goal tonight. Our goal, our vision, our focus is what? It's on the bride of Jesus Christ. And I want to be thankful that I have that vision tonight. I want to be appreciative that God has opened my eyes up enough to be able to see that that is what I can focus on. That's what I can go toward. So it is a wonderful Wednesday night. Anytime I can be in here and fellowship and get a chance to feel that spirit. Don't you just already feel lifted up from what the day is throwing on you? You know, right now, you may be getting emails. Brett, don't look at the phone because, you know, that'll get you. It gets me every time. Oh, no. What? They need something now? What am I going to do right now? There's no one working at Waste Management. That phone's, forget it. I'm not answering those calls. Because right now, I'm trying to text and Facebook God, all right? I'm trying to get in touch with Him today. I need that heavenly Wi-Fi, all right, if you will. I want a touch from the Most High. Forget Wi-Fi. I just came up with that one. That's pretty good, huh? So I just want to say I appreciate being here tonight. I appreciate getting a chance to get up and even and testify before my brothers and sisters, you know? We're I know there's more to it than when we use that saved by the word of our testimony. But, you know, this actually literally getting up and testifying, it's a part of our walk today. I've been blessed so many times when I get a chance to hear my brothers and sisters give a part of their testimony. Can we all not go back to, and don't we love to hear when Sister Tally talks about really believing she was going to be perfect in 3 years? I always get a kick out of that. You know, or Brother Daniel's talking about how whenever he was coming this way, how God impressed on him about a sincere people. You know, those are wonderful testimonies that have added to my life through the years. And whenever I've had hard times, or I've felt down, or I've been discouraged, I can go back to those and say, when I've lost my keys, well, Lord, would you send my mom's angel to me right now? Because he always finds her keys, and I need some help right now. And Sister Stewart, I remember her. You lost a bolt or something of that nature, and it was in some grass or something, and God helped you find that. You know, I don't forget those things. Those are those testimonies that, because if I can believe God for those things, because, you know, everyone's been there. When you've lost your keys, it might as well be a catastrophe. Because at that moment, is there anything more important than finding them? No, because you're going crazy. I need my keys. I'm late for work. I got to get the kids here. Where are my keys? I know I placed them here. Thankfully, we don't believe in a personal devil. Because, you know, that devil got them again. It's me. I put them in a different place and forgot. So, you know, I want to remember those things, though. I'm just saying about our testimonies. I want to be able to, that's also a way that I get a chance to know you that much more. You know, I'm afraid to know. I'm afraid to hear what you guys know about me from my testimony in relation to, you know, I've got up here and I've definitely threw some things out there before, but I want you to know me, because if I don't get a chance to know you here, I'm joking to say that we're going to spend eternity with one another. If I can't get along with you here, I'm not going to be there with you later. So I want to be able to show you my love now. I want to be able to get it over to you now and say, I am thankful that Brother Paul Thompson that he skins that guitar like no one else that I know. That when he gets up there and sings, he touches my heart. And I can remember years gone by, him being in a quartet and blessing me so many times. You know, I appreciate the work that's been done in this assembly. I appreciate what's being done today. Hey, you know what? We have a little bit of a smaller crowd tonight. I know we've got some that are sick. I'll take up receive the prayer request in a second. We've got some that are out of town, some that are at the meeting. But you know what? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. Do we have more than two or three here tonight? Do we have a church full that have the Holy Ghost in their life? Do we have the Spirit of God that we can feel here? Well, then we can have a touch. We can have whatever we need. You want to get that touch you've been needing? You want to get that healing you've been needing? You know what? The same God that was here Sunday is here tonight. The same one that walks with us day by day is here tonight. Whatever you need, lay it at His feet. You know what? Let's have that angel stirs the water. Hey, let's be that angel tonight. Let's stir that water up so we can get in that pool of Bethesda and get that healing for our soul that we've been seeking. That's what my goal is here tonight. You know, I don't want to come here and just pass time. I want to come here and serve the Lord. I want to lift Him up with all my heart, with every action, with every breath. I want my mind being focused on Him tonight. So I'll go ahead and I'll take up the prayer request. I think Brother Durham is sick. Is that correct? Well, you tell Brother Durham that I love him very much and we'll pray for him, but to quit rolling around that poison ivy to get out of work, okay? We know that. Bless his heart. We'll definitely, anyone who's had poison ivy, sumac, or oak, we can definitely pray for him with empathy tonight, right? And I know we want to mention the meeting. When does the meeting actually start? Has it already started?
Started.
So let's not forget to pray about the meeting. We know the subject is going to be talked on. No pun intended. It could be a very hot subject also. So let's remember that. Let's remember Brother Smith there, and he'll be carrying a lot of that load. Brother Stewart. Let's remember the crows, definitely, and then Sister Bryant as well, Brother Durham. Let's remember Sister Reva. I had migraines years ago, and those will put you down really quick. Those are not fun by any means. Sister Lisa. Okay, Sister Lisa's teacher. Let's remember her. She's going to be having surgery, right? Is that okay? Brother and Sister McGowan. Brother McGowan, his back, and Sister McGowan, her eye is still bothering her. Brother Mike Smith's boss's wife, brain tumor, and he requested prayer, and Brother Mike said, we'll pray for her tonight. Sister Sherry Boyd, is sick, has a headache tonight as well. Let's remember her. Brother Thompson.
Sister Ann's working tonight. But also, let's pray for her, Gene.
Okay. So Sister Ann is working tonight, and then her Uncle Gene. Let's remember him. And then Sister Glass's father, right?
Yes, he's in the hospital facing gallbladder surgery and a lot of complications that went with that. So all of them are in stasis.
Okay, let's remember Sister Gladys and her father, gallbladder issues and some other complications, and flipped him up. Brother Jerry York, Brother Mike Crafton, and Brother Tally are also at the meeting. Just remember them. Yes, yes. Very, very important meeting. We want to keep that. Chelsea. lady she works with, her name's Monica, had carpal tunnel surgery, having some difficulties getting over that. My grandfather just failing in his age. It's definitely, he's having a hard time breathing quite often, falling a lot. And then my father's having surgery next week. And then my mother definitely needs prayer also, some issues. Remember that Ron Johnson passing some gallstones? Yes, let's continue to uplift Sister Watson in our prayers. Appreciate her very much and her faithfulness here. Jordan James in, you said UMS? St. Vincent's with brain surgery. Let's remember him. So, well, let's also remember, continue the service tonight, and just seeking God's will, and don't neglect the gift that God has put into you. And if you have a testimony on your heart, if you have a song, in any way that you would reach out, and never know how you can touch someone else here in this service tonight. You may have a word that can get them through the rest of the week. So let's go ahead and stand, take these needs before the Lord, and really, really reach out and pull on God's Spirit tonight. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, dear God. We appreciate you, Lord. Dear God, we have many needs, Lord. We are a needy people, dear Jesus. You are the great physician, Lord. You are the one that can help us through all these things, Lord. Oh, God, you know the different needs here tonight, dear Jesus. Oh, God, the meeting going on right now. Touch the ministers, Lord, of the body of Christ as they're trying to thresh out the word and to get the true vision of what we need to know, Lord. God, the different ones who are not able to be here tonight, the Crows, the Bryants, the McGowans, dear Jesus, keep your hand on them, Lord, touch them. As Brother Durham, as he's suffering with poison ivy, dear God, give him comfort right now. Mr. Gladys's father, Lord, touch him, Lord, Brother Mike Smith's boss's wife, Lord, Monica, Chelsea's work, dear God, we have so many different needs, Lord. Dear God, you've heard each and every one that we've brought up here for you tonight, Lord. Dear God, we want to stir the water, dear God, for you to reach out and touch these different ones, Lord. Dear God, so we can get a closer walk with you. We'll build up our faith that much more, Lord. Dear God, we're just leaning on you. You said to ask, Lord, but you know our needs before we even ask them, Lord. But we're bringing them before you, Lord. Talking to you, dear God. We're depending on you, Lord. We know that you're the only one who has the answers, Lord. Each and every day that we walk, dear God, we need you, Lord. We want a closer walk. We appreciate you so much, dear Lord Jesus. Help us to get closer to you, Lord. We want to depend on you more, Lord. Each and every day for everything. Consider you in everything in our lives, Lord. Dear God, touch us this night, Lord. Bring in your spirit, dear God. Help us, Lord, to get one more step closer to you, Lord, so we can have a more intimate relationship with you, our great, wonderful Father.
Thank you,
dear Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for everything, Lord. Oh, God, we praise your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus.
came to my mind, whatever state you find yourself in, therewith be content. And I started thinking, you know, many times I've thought, you know, in your job, in your church, in your marriage, in your home, where you live, you think, you know, there's got to be something else out there. There's something else out there. You know, I know that, you know, my house is not the nicest house on the planet. It's got a lot of things wrong with it. And I've been to other people's houses around the body and other people's houses in this church, and I think, wow, what a beautiful house. And it almost makes me ashamed of my house, all the things that I neglect about my house and things that kind of go undone because I'm off running around doing what I do. And I was talking to this man that from another church that's got a really nice, big, beautiful house. I mean, multi-car garage, gated community. And then he came down here and came to my house. And I was like, ooh, we've got dog hair. We've got holes in the yard where the dogs have been digging moles. We've got, you know, the driveway's caving in. We've got this. We've got that. And I've always been, almost had an inferiority complex about my house. Until I was talking to him one day, and I mentioned that to him here not too long ago. And he was like, are you kidding me? He goes, when I come to your house, I think he doesn't have the payments I've got. He doesn't have the upkeep I've got. He doesn't have the neighborhood association telling him that he can't paint his shutters, you know, or whatever. And so what I'm viewing is a discontent. You know, he's looking at my house with envy. I'm looking at his house with envy. And we both should be just appreciative of what we've got. And that scripture came to me. And, you know, many times I've thought, you know, Brother Phil and I have talked about, you know, putting out resumes and trying to, because we're under, it's not so much the pressure of the job, it's just not knowing. If you don't know where the parameters at, if the parameters change every day, you know, Brother Tucker used to say, if you got a dog and you kick him every day, you're going to have a mean dog. If you pet him every day, you're going to have a good dog. If you have a dog that you pet on even days and pet on off days, you're going to have a messed up dog that doesn't know what to expect. And that's kind of how it is with our jobs. And I've thought, you know, God's kept me safe at that job for 18 years now. And I think many times, you know, I'm tempted, go on monster.com. My counterpart there, the other guy there, he's on it every morning. Monster.com, all these different websites, putting resumes out and all this. And yeah, he always wonders why I don't, when I'm just as in a tizzy about the whole situation as he is. But I keep thinking, you know, God put me in that job. And when it's time to move, he'll move me. He'll open a door. But then that scripture came to me this morning, therewith be content. And I started thinking, what's the difference between content and happy? And I started thinking about my dog. You know, it always goes back to dogs. And I think when I come home from work, or come get up in the morning, it's like I've been, if I could be gone 15 minutes, it's like I've been gone a month and a half. Max is all over himself. He's happy to see me. But is he content? No. It's like, you know, when my kids graduated, I was happy to see them graduate, but at the same time, was I content? No, I wasn't content. I mean, because then it's like, what's next? What's next? Is it college? What are they going to do? They're leaving my house. They're this and that. So it's not content. So it made me think, you know, what does it mean to be content, to be happy with what you've got? You know, and that's kind of a dichotomy because, you know, we're taught that this is a striving way, and we're all the time supposed to be struggling and striving, and it's this thing that we're never good enough. That we're never good enough, no matter what you do. You ever had a boss that no matter what you did, he uses the worst word in the human language, and it's but. When they use the word but, that means everything that they said before, well, honey, you look nice in that dress, but that's it. You might, if you throw but in there, it's all over. Don't ask me how I know this. But there I went. But Now I can't shake it. It's just like a plague. But anyway, I'm not going to say it again. But I guess I will. But I'm thankful that I have totally derailed. Yeah, I know. Everybody's waiting on it now. I'm feeling, but I can feel the sweat trickling down my back. How's that? But I am thankful. This is like going to be like a Dean Martin roast before it's all said and done. It made me think, though, so I started that one without it. It made me think that of where I'm at and how I need to be content. And until God opens up a path for me, you know, whether it's a job, you know, whether it's with this church, you know, I wonder, as we all do, you know, with the prophecy that we hear that one day this church will be full, and I don't see it. And that's just the truth. But that makes everything I said before that a lie. Okay, that's why I did it. But I can see, if I trust God, and he has brought us through so much, you know, time and time again, and I always wonder, you know, what's our purpose? You know, what is our purpose? I really want to know, how does me learning the doctrine of laying on of hands or any other teaching, some great teaching, how does that help me? How does that make me a better witness? How does that give me the Bible says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How does understanding these great truths make me a better witness and draw people to God? And I don't have an answer for that. But I know that these great men of God tell me that so, until I'm shown otherwise, I have to operate on that premise. And you know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes obedience is sacrifice. And I think about that chapter in Philippians. You know, we tend to, you know, we're bombarded with negative. Even if you turn the radio off, the negative mindset that you've been programmed or we've been programmed is just there. It's just too easy to be negative. And I think of that, what's that scripture? Is it Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are good. You know, I think, you know, and I may be out of turn here, but I think that we miss it sometimes when we say that we turn off the radio, but we bring the radio into church with us. We get up and talk about all the things that we hear all day long. We talk about the things we read all day long. And if this is finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I guarantee you won't find one of those things on CNN tonight. You won't find it in the newspaper. But we can encourage each other. We can find it in ourselves to lift each other up. When I come in here and I love hearing good things. You know, that's one of the reasons that I've kind of withdrawn from Facebook, just because it's so negative. It's just everybody's got something negative to say. And am I Pollyanna? No, I know that there's enough negative things to go around out there. But God did not put, I don't believe that God put me here to be negative. And I have to tell myself that. And I need to be content. I need to be content and know that this is where God's put me. Do I understand it? Not a clue. I don't even have a clue. But I had a dream here a few years back when the church was going through a shaking pretty bad, and I dreamed that that Brother Tucker came back from the dead and was just walking around in here like nobody made a big deal of it. And I was like, wow, nobody's even noticing that he's here. And I remember he was laying on a couch, and he was playing with these kids, these little kids, making frog noises or something. And I was thinking in the dream, I was like, why is he wasting time with these kids? I've got questions I need to ask him. I need to know. I need to know right now. I've got burning questions. And why am I here? What's the purpose of this? And in the dream, it came to me that I know what he's going to say. So why do I have to ask him? Why do I have to have somebody tell me, spell it out, you are here because of this. You're going to do this. This is your calling, underline. I don't need that. I tell myself I need that. You know, as boys, and there's nothing a boy wants more than the somebody telling him that you're a man. I mean, how many men in here waited for that sometime in your life for somebody to tell you that you are now a man? You don't wear pajamas. You don't wear Star Wars pajamas anyway. You don't. I didn't mean to hit a nerve there, Nathan. Did you see that look Nathan gave me? Uh-huh. Nathan said I quit preaching and started meddling. But we don't. If we know in our hearts where we are, and what we've been called to do, and do I have a total vision? No. But if I've got the vision, if I've got a part of a vision, I can build on that. I can build, and when I heard, a lot of times we hear scriptures our entire life, and you don't think. You know, they go, for God so loved the world, and you hear these scriptures go in and out your ear, and I hear thy word is a light unto my path. How many times have we heard that? And I heard Neil Morse over in Nashville on YouTube, and he was being interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine or some really secular magazine, and they were really trying to pick him apart, and he handled himself so beautifully, but he used that scripture. And they were questioning him about world events and, well, how could God justify this or put up with a tsunami and this and that. And he said, God's word's a light into my path. A lantern does not light 200 yards down the road. It lights right there. And you take that step, and it lights the next step. You take that step, and it lights the next step. And we tend to worry. And I was thinking, and I use the analogy of a shooting a rifle. The farther you look out with a rifle or the scope on a rifle, the more every little magnitude, every little jiggle is magnified through that scope. You can look at that scope from here to the pulpit, and you think you've got the steadiest hand. You look 200 yards out there, and every little jiggle. I think I look too much. I need to look like right here. And look right here, and look for the help of my brothers and sisters. I mean, when I came in here tonight, the first thing I thought, as we all did, where is everybody at? But God comes in. God comes in, and he came in tonight. I felt him here tonight already. And I'm thankful, and I want to be content. I know that I actually looked up the root word, and it was contentious. Now, who'd think of the word content and the word contentious come from the same root? But it said the word contentious meant to compete. Because when two people compete, one wins, and that person's content. I mean, that was in Wikipedia. I don't know if somebody made that up or not. But I threw that in there for free. But I'm thankful. When I look out here tonight and I see Brother Daniels, I didn't, there was a time, just not in the very, not too long ago that we didn't know that Brother Daniels was going to be here. I look back there, I see Joe Lacey. I see him raising his hands and praising God. You know, and I notice those things, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, but when I see, you know, people come, you know, people getting their eyes open and coming back, I appreciate that. I really do. And you know, what does the future hold? I don't know. I don't know. Will we see people, you know, and I don't even like to use the term come back, because they followed another path, and I don't know what their path is. I don't have a clue. You know, there's been men that have left this church and went other to start other churches or whatever, and I don't understand why, but I have no doubt in my mind that those men are great men of God. They're just following a different path. And I don't know if we truly believe Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good, then I have to believe that that's in God's will. And somehow we'll come back together, and God's in it all. Lord, how did I get off on that? But I'm thankful. That was just on my heart today to, you know, talk about, you know, just to be content that I don't have to strive all the time. God will put things in my path. And I'm appreciative to be here tonight.
Tonight, because I thought it might help me stay awake, because I hope I'm awake spiritually, but naturally I'm not awake. I mean, Saturday night was the first time in a long time that I had not slept good. So Sunday, especially the second service, I could barely keep my eyes open. So I just slept like a log Sunday night. So I slept good Monday night, so last night I got to bed about 11. I thought, I'm going to have a good night's sleep, wake up wide awake. So at 11:45, the phone rang. I guess everybody should have a friend that deprives them of sleep. So this friend of mine, he's a security guard over here at some building where senior citizens stay and handicapped people. And so he called me at 11:55. He said, this lady over here is threatening me with a knife. And so when an incident happens, he has to write up a report. Well, he can't spell. So every time he needs to know how to spell, he calls me. So I'd hang up the phone. He'd call back. So he called me five times from 11:45 to 12:45. And so I was so sleepy today, and I'm still sleepy. But anyway... He, you know, I just thought that was so inconsiderate, but I guess, well, he owes me money that he never paid back, so I guess he doesn't consider that much. But anyway, I'm glad to be here and excited to be here. I'd be more excited if I wasn't so sleepy, but I saw where tomorrow and Friday the Assemblies of God in Hot Springs are celebrating their centennial, 100th. They were founded in Hot Springs in 1914, and so in August they're going to, I think their headquarters in Springfield, Missouri, and they're going to have a big meeting in August in Springfield, Missouri. But you know, I said they have 3.1 million members in the United States, and they've got 66 million members worldwide. So you know, there's some good people out there, but you know, come out of her, my people. Just think, we got a great advantage in coming out when we did, but God dealt with us before He did. I think Tim Velez wrote a song one time, said, "Glory, honor, and power to the Lord our God, for He's led us safe from Babylon, and to give us life eternal, a chance to overcome if we just learn to live the Word of God." So, I get excited about church. I mean, that's the most exciting thing to me. But people get a lot excited about a lot of things. People are getting excited about this meeting in Hot Springs Thursday and Friday for the centennial of the Assembly of God. And then next year the Pope is scheduled to come over here. Boy, everybody's going to be worshiping him like he's the greatest man in the world. He'll be getting media attention. He'll be on television, and we'll get plenty of news about him. But so anyway, I believe God. I was reading last night in the 17th chapter of Acts in the 25th verse. I believe that God. It's not as though God needs men to worship, men's hands to worship him, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. But, you know, I mean, God doesn't need us. I mean, he expects it. He created us, and he demands our worship. But, you know, he's sufficient. He doesn't have to have us. But I believe he gets excited when we come to church. I mean, you know, I believe even though he doesn't really have to have us, I believe he gets excited about his church. It says in the New Testament he loved his church. And so I believe he gets excited when we come to church and glorify him. And we sure appreciate his presence. He's sure welcome here. He's not welcome everywhere. But anyway, I was reading today about chickens. I didn't know the life of a chicken is usually 5 to 7 years. But it said they have been known to live 20 years. So I thought, Lord, make me a Hezekiah chicken. That add 15 more years to my life. I'll be 72 in August. Just give me 15 more years if I could just make it. He doesn't owe me that, but I'd like to be here 15 more years. And that's just a drop in the bucket. That'll be gone in no time because I've been back in church 14 years. So anyway, I'm sleepy, but I was tempted to stay home tonight, but I'm glad I came.
Appreciate what's been said tonight, and I missed last Wednesday night, brother Fleming. So I sympathize with you, but doing something. Anyway, I hate missing church. But I was listening today, Brother Painter's message last Wednesday, and really got blessed. And I appreciate my brothers. You know, I feel like I'm in good company. And I feel like that the Lord has put me here with y'all, and you're adding something. You're adding, you know, to my life, and making that's what makes the body of Christ. And you know, I was thinking about that and what Brother Brett was saying. And by the way, I now know what dichotic means. I because I have a dictionary on my phone, thank goodness. But I appreciate Brother Brett and all of my brothers I've got. You know, I just feel so blessed to be. You know, I have the friends that I do. I apologize that I'm not more of a friend. I think about that. You know, what can I do to be more of a friend? And I've got a bad habit of being somewhat reclusive, but that's my Adam nature I'm working on. So pray for me. But I love y'all, and I love this church. And I remember coming in to the body from being out in religion, and one of the things that meant a lot to me, I remember coming in and just feeling the presence of God, just feeling the sweet spirit, that sweet spirit that we felt when we come here today and was in worshiping and worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit come in, and it just feels so wonderful. And I grew up in a little Pentecostal church, and you know, we had the Holy Ghost. I didn't have it, you know, and a lot of people didn't, but a few, you know, the women had it, and but it was so different. I remember just enjoying, just sitting there in awe, and seeing and feeling the presence of God, seeing so many people speak in tongues. And I remember thinking, you know, Lord, I'm going to stick around a while because this is where I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. All right. And I remember thinking how wonderful, you know, that was. And I remember I was there for, I was coming for a while. And then, you know, I started getting inquisitive and wondering what we all taught, you know, what, you know, our doctrine. So I started getting myself in trouble because everything was so strange to me. And, of course, I asked Brother Smith, you know, I sat Brother Smith one time I said, he sat me down, and I was asking him questions, you know, about, you know, I heard, you know, somebody told me that y'all believe this and y'all believe that. And he just started opening up to me and letting me know, you know, giving me some of the doctrine. And boy, it, you know, it was just a big lot. It was a lot for me to take in at the time. And I remember telling him, you know, I said, Brother Smith, you know, I love this spirit y'all have here, but there's just something about y'all's doctrine I just can't handle. You know, it's too much for me. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, Brother Mark, he said, I've heard that before. He said, we've had new people come in and say that. But he said, people don't understand. There's a reason why. He said, there's a reason why there's a different spirit here than there is out there in religion. You know, he said, why do you think it's so different? He said, you love it. He said, it's because of our doctrine that we have that special covering. You know, God loves that and honors that. And so through the years I've learned, and you know, why it was so special to me. It's become so special to me. The doctrines, Brother Brett. You know, y'all grew up here in this, and it's sometimes, I think, easier for me to appreciate the difference in the doctrine, or the wonderful the doctrines that we have, because I've been out there. I know what it's like out there in Babylon, and so I wanted to say that, because I feel like that. That is why we have this covering here tonight. I just wanted to say what Brother give the testimony that Brother Smith gave me, and so here I am struggling a little bit, but and I want to say this, you know, the Lord has been merciful to me lately, I feel like, because this place is a sanctuary to me. Just being able to come to church and feel the presence of the Lord, and you know, God has given me the blessing of being able to pray and feel His touch and feel His blessings. But I've heard Brother Smith give this testimony, how that God has how that sometimes he has to put us through a winter time, a time of where we have to struggle to feel God's presence. And I just want you to know, I've been going through that lately. And but I, every time I come here to church, God blesses me. Lets me, and you know, I feel the presence of God in a special way. But I had something really happen to me, as, you know, kind of, I've been, hesitant to ever say anything about this, but Brother Smith's, you know, I've always heard people talk about, you'll hear people say, you know, God spoke to me in an audible voice. And I've always felt a doubt, you know, had a doubt in my mind about that, you know, because, you know, God has spoke to me, you know, I felt like in dreams and, you know, in my mind, I have a feeling come over me and I feel like, you know, the presence of the Lord come over me and thoughts come into my mind and I know God's dealing with me. But I always thought, you know, it's just strange for somebody to say that God spoke to them in an audible voice, or that they heard an audible voice. But I had an experience like that here a while back. And I woke up in the morning. I was just, a lot of times I sit there and meditate. And this is one time after I came home. We had a wonderful service, a Sunday service. The Lord was really strong and felt the presence of the Lord. And I woke up in the morning, I just meditating on that. And this is an honest to God truth. I heard an audible voice. And it said, when you go through the fire, I'll speak to you. And it kind of scared me, you know. I just kind of had to shake myself, and I said, Lord, you know, is that you? Why, you know, you can actually talk to me like this. You know, why can't you talk to me? You know, why can't, you know, there's so many things I like to ask you and to hear from you, and I never, you know, you've never talked to me before. And he didn't say anything else other than that. And, of course, I feel like he was preparing me for the time I've been going through. And I can't put a finger on it to say exactly why I've been going through what I have. But I know God's there. I think, you know, I know that God tries everybody to see whether he wants to know, try your faith. And, you know, I think that's one, you know, Peter said that the trial of your faith, and didn't he say worketh your, the trial of your faith worketh patience. And so the trial I've been going through, you know, is been able to hang on to that faith. And I know God's there. And so he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And so I have that confidence. But it's so wonderful, you know, when I come here and in this sanctuary that I come in here and I can feel God. But I know I'm just kind of opening up to you and letting you know some of the trials that I've been going through. And I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know that he's able to give me the strength to go through this. And, of course, here lately I've had some breakthroughs, and I know that God's he's touched me. But I long to have that relationship with God. You know, I've been reading with our young people in Sunday school about Abraham, how that he just seemed, his Bible says he was a friend of God, and it just seems like he had a such relationship with God that, you know, God come and spoke to him in person. And but I know we were just, we read about that, and we don't they had sacrifices. You don't know how long between those periods that God spoke to him, but when he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, he intentionally wanted to try Abraham to see if his to test his faith, to see how strong his faith was, and whether he would be obedient or not. And after he went through that trial of having to offer up his son and was obedient, then the Lord said, I know. You know, I know he's going to be there for me. I know that Abraham is he's faithful, you know. His righteousness was counted to him as his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And so I appreciate that. You know, I know everything God puts us through is for our own good, and because of the love he has for us. And so it's good to be here tonight. I love y'all, and I appreciate you.
Praise God. It's been good tonight. The Lord has been with us, and we're blessed people. Just want to wrap up the service here with a few words. The band song was started off sheltered in the arms of God, and here we are. We're protected by his covering. We're safe, Brother Daniels. We're safe in the hands of the Lord. And I was thinking as Brother Brett was talking to us about contentment. I can tell you right now, around the Painter house, our dogs are not content because all the kids are gone. And so I get home and they maul me. Even the cat is my friend, which is very unusual. Of course, it has something to do with the fact that I'm feeding it. Don't tell my girls that I fed the cat. They'll expect me to love it next. But I was thinking about contentment and when Brother Fleming was talking about God doesn't need us, but he expects our praise. He expects our love and affection. And it just occurred to me, God is content. He has everything he needs. He's everything that he would ever hope for or desire. He's content. But he still finds pleasure, takes pleasure in his people that praise him and live for him and uphold him. Brother Mark Boyd's comment, he referenced a scripture in James 1. Sister Joanne, if you would put that in the second verse. It said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I thought about that at the end of that. You could rephrase that, lacking nothing. Or perfect and entire and be content. See how this service has just come together tonight with everybody being led by the Lord. And we're We're His. We're our life, our faith, our patience. Our perfection is to put our trust, our hope, our contentment in whatever the Lord has for us. And, you know, apparently tonight it was the Lord had a small crowd for First Gospel Church. That's okay. That's if that's what His will was, then I want to be satisfied with that. I want to trust Him. I believe that we'll have a wonderful weekend. You know, we'll come into here Sunday, and we'll be expecting the Lord to meet us, and we'll be expecting, you know, people to be delivered of their sickness or whatever, their ox in the ditch or whatever has, you know, hindered them from being here tonight. We'll come in Sunday with our minds focused, and, you know, we may have our struggles. We may, you know, have our phone calls and our text messages, Brother Phil, but we'll put all that aside, and we'll believe that God is going to meet us. And just like He did tonight, you know, we're, as Brother Phil said, where two or three are gathered, therewith be content. You know, you could summarize our life with the Lord as contentment. Brother Weininger, I'm telling you, Brother Weininger. Brother Weininger's lost his cell phone. So I sat down beside him before church service, and I was talking to him a little bit, and he told me, he said, "I want you to say a little prayer for me." He said, "I've lost my cell phone." Well, lo and behold, Brother Phil gets up and starts telling about how that, you know, people lose their keys and God knows where they're at. People lose a washer in the grass and God knows where it's at. You know, God has a way of building our faith and allowing us to be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves, whether it's a large congregation or a small congregation, whether it's a service that's just, you know, raising the roof, or if it's a service that is sober-minded, wheresoever we find ourselves, the Lord, if we're trusting the Lord tonight, which I believe we are, we can find contentment in that. So let's stand and be dismissed and go into this, the rest of this week knowing that the Lord is with us. Let's continue to pray for those that aren't here. And yes, remember Sister Smith wasn't feeling well tonight, and there's some folks that are going in for surgery, more surgery this week, and Brother Durham's, it's hard for him to be content, I'm sure, but let's trust the Lord. Let's believe that God will meet us, meet all of our needs, and be content in whatsoever His will is. Praise God. Lord, we thank You for this grace that You provided. We thank You for the love in this assembly that we feel, oh God. We thank You for the Spirit of God that reaches down and touches us. And we trust, Lord, that You'll go with us, that You'll satisfy all our needs. Hallelujah. That You'll be our everything, dear Lord. Praise God. Bless those that aren't here, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that are traveling. Bless the ministry as they meet together in Your name. Oh God, be with us and keep us in Your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you Sunday morning, 9:30 breakfast, 10 o'clock Bible study, and 11 o'clock worship service.